403, welcome in. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM as well, and online at kgymradio.com. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register set to join us tonight at 5 o'clock as we'll get Chad's thoughts on last night's Iowa victory over the Wisconsin Badgers at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, one that did not come easy, but it ultimately did come for the Hawkeyes, a 68-62 come-from-behind win. Five in a row now as Iowa gets ready to head to Maryland before hosting Illinois at Carver-Hawkeye Arena on Super Bowl Sunday. Plenty more to get to, including, this is not a misprint, Woodja is going to be on tap today, shifting to a Tuesday this week. All that, as well as texts and phone calls from you, our great listeners on the First Federal Credit Union text line, that number 319-366-1600, and you're going to want to keep that number handy because coming up before 6 o'clock tonight, you're going to have an opportunity to win tickets to see Korn and Breaking Benjamin coming to the U.S. Cellular Center on February 15th. Those tickets on sale now. You can get them at the U.S. Cellular Center box office. The Winter Tour 2020 coming to Cedar Rapids and the Cell Center. Or you can just listen to KGYM all week hoping to win them. Buttons is on the other side of the glass, ready to not only hook you up with those tickets, but to hear from you as well. And Alex, I made a mistake last night on Twitter, and I want to own up to it. Somebody was criticizing Wisconsin's Brad Davison by comparing him to Aaron Kraft of Ohio State. And I said that Aaron Kraft was an all-time Big Ten villain.
Yep.
And that Brad Davison couldn't hold his jock strap. You saw that comment.
Mm-hmm.
I got to apologize because upon further review, I think we've witnessed the birth of one of the Big Ten's great villains last night at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. I'm ready to put Brad Davison in the rarefied air of Big Ten villain. Now, the problem is, for any good villain, you have to walk a fine line between becoming a villain and a goon. And Davison, to me, is pretty close to being a goon at this point.
You also have to be pretty good at basketball, right? I did point this out, that some people were comparing him to Aaron Kraft. Others were comparing him to Grayson Allen. And
6 points in 33 minutes isn't good?
No, please do not insult Grayson Allen. People forget that he was actually really good. And we're talking about who's Brad Davison other than the guy who reaches his leg out and lets people land on his foot and
give me all your
people.
Give me all the Woodbury takes today. I'm ready for them. 319-366. How can you sit there and criticize Davison, Woodbury, and Gasiah? Come at me. 319-366-1600. Zach McCabe, Jacob Jakes, Sam Oakey. Yeah, well, other teams have bad guys, but the bad guy on the floor last night was Brad Davison, and he wound up costing Wisconsin.
See, this is the problem with Brad Davison. Wisconsin fans don't even like him right now. Because when you have somebody who sort of plays the villain, it's kind of understood that he's a good player, and your own fans will like him because he's edgy, he gets under the other team's skin, but he's also a productive player for you. There are plenty of those out there. But when somebody does crap like that last night and also is actively hurting the team and not necessarily helping it in any really discernible way, what advantage does that come with? And that's why you're seeing Wisconsin fans even turning on him.
You know, you have to be messed up. In this day and age, we are so far through the looking glass in terms of tribalism and our side is always right and your side is always wrong. You really have to be a goon to have your own fan base looking at you going, a bridge too far. What was it, 81%?
Yeah,
now, granted, you don't necessarily have to be a Wisconsin fan to be on the Wisconsin SB Nation site, but
it was the SB Nation poll released by the Wisconsin leg of SB Nation asking, is Brad Davison a dirty player? And 81% of the people who voted in the poll said yes.
You love them when they're on your team. You hate them when they're not. Right? But now you've got a guy here where even his own team does not like him. And the text line, Jeff says he's a goon. He's not a villain. He's a goon. So can somebody explain the difference between a villain and a goon to me? Maybe I didn't do a good enough job. You understood what I was putting down.
Oh, no, I absolutely understood what you were putting down.
A villain, and like Aaron Kraft. And it was Chris Williams of KXNO, Cyclone Fanatic, and that was more of what Ohio State did to Iowa State in the NCAA tournament that stuck in his craw. But Aaron Kraft was a villain. He was the guy that he enjoyed getting under the skin of an entire arena. But he wasn't a goon. This wasn't Oglethorpe out there trying to decapitate anybody on the ice.
Well, and that's the I'll make the distinction in hockey.
It's a Slapshot reference, Buttons. You familiar with that movie?
So an enforcer in hockey, that's a goon. Because that's all he does. It just goes around and tries to hurt people. Tries to get in fights. Now, a villain is someone who's a good player, but every once in a while throws that cheap shot that gets under people's skin. That instigator type mentality. Brad Marchand of the Boston Bruins, that type of player who's really good, but people love to hate because he's not on your team and he's constantly getting under people's skin.
Well, you know what this calls for? It calls for KGYM's listeners to build their all-villain Big Ten lineup, past or present, 319-366-1600, your contribution to our all-villain team. And if you want to go goon, you're more than welcome to go goon, but I'm trying to keep this here on the narrow path of villainy. For those of you who are wondering, what the heck are these guys talking about? Last night, they saved all of this. Was a boring game. I sat there last night and I thought about doing my taxes for a while there. It looked like Wisconsin was going to win the game, and it was a plodding, methodical, typical Wisconsin basketball game until about 4.5 minutes left in the game, and Iowa staged an epic comeback, and they saved all the fireworks for the last 34 seconds because you got not one but two technical fouls in a 30-second span at the end of the game. But with 32 seconds left on the clock, Brad Davison is called for a flagrant foul. He basically hit Connor McCaffrey below the belt in what appeared to be not an unintentional manner.
No, completely obvious. There's no debate on this one, whether or not he meant to do it. He clearly meant to do it. And nobody is arguing that.
And this was pointed out very quickly after the game. This is not the first time that Davison has done this type of behavior in a game. Minnesota fans were all over this. He's from Minnesota. He chose to go to Wisconsin, if I recall correctly.
Correct.
You have Minnesota fans going, man, I'm glad this guy didn't come to our school. And you and I were discussing, this is now to the point where maybe the Big Ten takes a look at everything that he's done, the 3-4 previous instances along with this one, and the Big Ten steps in and maybe hands down a suspension, because this does appear to be a pattern of behavior.
How can they not suspend him? They have to suspend him, right? I mean, yeah, there's the pattern of behavior, but I would argue that even if there was not a pattern of behavior, that last night alone is enough to warrant a suspension. That play is a suspendable play. And I think that because he does have priors, he should get an even bigger punishment than somebody who didn't have priors, but that play alone is enough for me in the Big Ten office to say, no, you're sitting for at least a game.
I did say Big Ten, correct? The all-time Big Ten roster of villains?
Yes.
I just want to make sure on that, because I don't believe I ever recall Dennis Rodman suiting up in a Big Ten uniform. If I did, I've really missed out. But 57-31, thought perhaps my son had gotten a hold of a cell phone here, offering perhaps the definitive definition of villain versus goon, using the movie Lion King as the source material. The villain is Scar from The Lion King. The hyenas are the goons. So there you go. It's okay to be a Scar. You don't necessarily want to be the hyena.
All right, so I've
seen The Lion King?
I have.
Which, the cartoon version?
The cartoon
or the
version.
And it's not real life, it's CGI, but it looks like real life. It's kind of scary to take a three-year-old kid to. I just want to put that out there. What kind of idiot would take their three-year-old son to see that type of movie? I don't know. You tell me. We've got some good suggestions coming in, by, and you're more than welcome to throw Iowa players in there. I know Adam Woodbury, his name was mentioned more last night than some of the games when he actually played for the Hawkeyes, because people were so, you can't criticize. You live in a glass house. Every team's got them, some more than others. And according to the text line,
okay,
Wisconsin.
I think Ed may have the best one of all time. How can you top Isaiah Thomas?
Isaiah Thomas.
It's impossible to top Isaiah Thomas. That is the perfect definition of a villain.
He was Indiana had some very good villains back in the day, and perhaps the all-time, if you were looking for the head coach of the all-villain team, I don't know whether we could come up with one in Eastern Iowa. Robert Montgomery Knight is certainly at the top of the list, but I'm thinking Lou Henson is in the running. Gene Katie.
Yeah,
would
do coaches count?
Coaches count. Look, let's build out a bench here. Let's go starting five.
Okay.
Let's go reserves, and we can put together an entire coaching staff of one of them. Yeah, you want to go former Iowa, former Indiana player turned Iowa coach. I think Steve Alford would have made a very good villain back in the day. There's
kind of different
types of villains. Again, the villain that likes to come into your arena, drop 25-30 on you, and rip out your heart while it's still beating, Indiana Jones style. Davison, different type of villain. And again, walking that fine line between villain and goon. And last night was pretty goon. Now, everybody in the arena felt that way except for Davison and Greg Gard, who after the game was asked, and I think this is a completely disingenuous answer here on the part of Wisconsin's soon-to-be ex-head coach, because the wheels are coming off. And last night, I was listening to some of the Wisconsin writers after that game was over in the media room as we were waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for Greg Gard and Fran McCaffrey to come in. The mob is out in Madison. Remember, a lot of folks didn't even want Greg Gard to be the head coach in the first place.
He wasn't going to be.
Bo Ryan handpicked him as his successor.
He retired early so he can be his
successor.
Barry
Alvarez said, get out of here. I'm not hiring him to, I'm not guaranteeing that he's going to be a replacement. Bo Ryan basically hit the skids early and forced their hand,
right,
because he gave Gard a team that would be impossible to lose with.
Wait, while there were a lot of rumors and connections that Barry Alvarez may be interested in a certain coach who coaches here in the state of Iowa.
True. That being said, Bo Ryan, in one of the all-time great power moves, forced Barry Alvarez to hire Greg Gard. And now that Gard is sort of on his own,
see,
it ain't going well for him.
And that's what happened. He retires mid-season on a team that first half of the year looked awful. I believe they had lost to Wisconsin, Milwaukee in the non-conference. Now Gard takes over. They have this immediate turnaround. He gets them to the Sweet 16, and at that point, Barry Alvarez can't fire him.
You can't. It was perfectly set up. You want to talk about a villain move? Bo Ryan. Bo Ryan went villain. There.
He definitely turned the tables on the bill.
A villain athletic director, because a lot of people would look at Barry Alvarez and go, eh. Yeah. Iowa ties aside. Gary, by the way, shut the text line down because Scott Skiles of Michigan State infamy I don't know if you can get a bigger villain than that in the last 40 years of Big Ten basketball. You guys are free to continue trying, though. 319-366-1600. Scott Skiles just went from college villain to NBA villain. He's more of a pest, combination villain slash pest. But last night, so this is Greg Gard after the game, completely being disingenuous. He was disingenuous on a couple levels because he was asked about the Kobe King situation. Wisconsin was without its second leading scorer last night. As we mentioned on the air, Kobe King did not make the trip to Iowa City, and the Wisconsin media were reporting that King is essentially not happy with the direction of the program and could possibly not play the remainder of the season. Gard was asked about that last night. He said, it's a personal thing, and we don't know the timeline on it. And he was soft-shoeing around it. But listen to this epic gaslighting here by Greg Gard discussing the situation, the technical foul, with Brad Davison after the... This is how Greg Gard views how things went down last night.
I've seen a little small computer screen clip of it. Apparently, he wrapped his arm around the leg of the screener as he came around it. So that's what I was explained to is by the official.
And that's a flagrant foul? Right?
Yeah, they called it a flagrant, yeah. Two shots in the ball.
In the rule book, does it say that? I'm just unaware of that rule for hooking on a... Is it similar to the hook and hold?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wasn't given a long explanation of it other than they had a flagrant foul there that they had missed. And they went back and looked at it, and that's what they assessed.
Greg, I can give you a short explanation. Thank you. Flush that, because that was crap. I can give you a short explanation. He hit him in the magic parts.
The nether regions.
I was thinking earlier today I was going to grab somebody, a decision maker from down the hall, and I was going to bring them in here, and I was going to have a long list of euphemisms, and I was going to read them off on the air, asking them if I could say them on the air and whether or not that would go over or not. Probably would have been funny. Probably also would have gotten me in trouble. I would have just done what I did whenever I get in trouble around here. I just blame buttons for everything. 319-366-1600. So Greg Gard after the game says
he wrapped his leg. Wrapped his arm around his leg. That's what he did. No.
The guy's got a third leg or something? I mean, come on here. That wasn't a leg that he hit him in. And needless to say, things went downhill from there because in a couple, 30 seconds later in game time, several minutes later in real time, Luka Garza winds up getting a technical as well. Could have cost Iowa big, but Wisconsin, I think Trice was the shooter, right? Dimitri Trice was the shooter,
yes,
and missed the front end of the two free throws.
Completely bailing the officials out,
exactly,
by the way.
Because if he hits both of them in a five-point game, then Wisconsin has the ball, and a three-pointer ties the game with 2 seconds remaining. So he misses the free throw, and Carver Hawkeye, which we can get to the atmosphere or lack thereof at times inside the arena in a little bit, you could almost hear a collective exhale when that ball clanked off the rim, the first shot. Because, okay, 2 seconds left. Worst thing that can happen right now is a four-point game. There's no way that Wisconsin can pull this thing off. And yes, I agree, bailed the officials out. And by the way, if you're going to go online, this is directed at our friends from America's Dairyland. If you're going to go online and complain that the officials handed Iowa the game, maybe do a little research, because Bo Borowski was one of the three officials working that game last night, and he and Fran McCaffrey don't exactly exchange Christmas cards, if you know what I mean.
No, they're not best friends.
So the idea that Bo Borowski is going to do anything to benefit Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeye, get out of here with that. But I do have Luka Garza, because he was contrite. After the game, he offered up an apology, and here's Luka's thoughts on what took place at the end of the game, as well as the game as a whole.
You know, I lost my composure a little bit. You know, some things were said that, weren't really nice, so I kind of kind of lost my composure. So I apologize to my team and to Wisconsin. I have tremendous respect for all those guys, and it was an out of character moment for myself.
Did things get kind of chippy at the end? With what happened with Connor, and then you kind of got into it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think the game was just really, physical and aggressive, and that's just how it is in the Big Ten. And I think, I don't think the entire game, I think we've had games that were more chippier in terms of words that were said, but, towards the end, there were definitely no words exchanged. But, that's what happens at this level. Emotions are high, it's really physical. I just got to, do a better job of keeping my composure, and that's something, I've been able to do really well because I've seen it all in terms of what people say to me and what people try to do to me. So, I just got to, do a better job in that future, and it won't happen again.
Luka Garza discussing his role in the final minute of the game. And
that was very nice and diplomatic of him to say, because I thought that was an absolutely terrible technical foul call. He got absolutely walloped in the face. And I don't think it was intentional, but he got hit in the face extremely hard and was laying on the ground, and a Wisconsin player stood over him and yelled obscenities at him. He got up, and yes, he yelled at the Wisconsin bench, but he didn't touch anybody. He didn't. There was no nothing of any physical nature going on, and they called the technical foul on him. And if that would have led to Wisconsin getting two shots, I guess Iowa still got the ball after that, but any type of change in momentum in that game, that would have been a real shame.
And I want to correct the record here. I said Trice missed the first one and made the second one. It was actually the other way around. He made the first one and missed the second one. Regardless of that fact, had Iowa been able to steal the ball, or had Wisconsin been able to steal the ball and hit a three, had he made both of them, you've got a tie game there. Iowa instead is able to get out of its own building with a 68-62 win over the Badgers. We've got Fran McCaffrey, some of his thoughts on last night's game. Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette asked Fran, this is a five-game winning streak that the Hawkeyes are on. Four of them have sort of come easy, or not necessarily been easy, but Iowa's looked pretty good over these four games. The fifth one, last night, they struggled, clearly. Epically bad shooting night, very similar to the one that they had in Lincoln earlier in the season. Wind up 3 of 20 from beyond the arc. So it was an ugly game, but they wind up pulling it out. And so Mike Halas asked Fran McCaffrey last night after the game was over if this was a key win for them in this stretch here. And I thought Fran had some great insight.
Well, I think that's true, Mike. Can you win when you're not at your best offensively? Because you managed the game. We managed the game. Start of the second half was not good. Okay, and then the middle portion was not good. We had a couple breakdowns on defense. We shot it quick, without making the defense work. Contested, bad looks, but stayed the course. Stayed together. Got the stops we needed. Ran when it was there. Pressed them when we had opportunities. Rebounded the ball. Because they're going to fight on the glass, you know that. So you got to be able to manage the game and keep it to where you can come back and win. Because, it gets to 12, it can go to 20, or it can go to 0. And we really stayed together there.
And he's absolutely right. It can get to 20, or it can get to 0. And rather than letting it get to 20, they took it in the other direction, and Wisconsin couldn't stop them.
I've said this a few times, and I said it last night on Twitter. Some people laughed at me, but they were down by 12 with 7.5 minutes to go, and I know they looked awful all night, and there was some frustration building among the fans and clearly among the team with the way that they were shooting the ball. But I don't know. I never felt like they were going to lose that game, even when they were down 12, because I knew that there was going to be
really
at least one run.
And okay, I got to be honest with you. There were plenty of times last night where I thought they were going to lose that game.
I just there's something about that team where it's different than what we've seen from them in the past. And Wisconsin has been a team that has been able to kind of sink them on their home court in the past. But this team in particular, when they get on one of those proverbial runs, they can put away a team. And they hadn't all night. They had not gotten on a single run the entire game. And you knew that there was going to be one coming. It was just going to take one shot, whether it was a Luka Garza jump shot or a Joe Wieskamp three. It turned out to be both. And once they got that train rolling, I knew that they were going to get over the top, because that Wisconsin team, quite honestly, is not very good. And once they started kind of spiraling out of control and going sideways, it was all over for them.
That is a bad Wisconsin team. It's probably the worst Wisconsin team I've seen in the last decade. 12-9 now on the season, 5-5 in Big Ten play. Hawkeyes 6-3 heading to Maryland on Thursday, and then Illinois coming to town on Sunday. We'll hear more of the post-game reaction coming up in just a little bit, but there's more going on in the world than just Iowa basketball. I want to be very clear about that, and we acknowledge that with a big board update. Here at the ready with one is our very own Alex Kuhn.
I guess we will start with Iowa basketball, though. It was an ugly night for Iowa offensively. They were just 3 of 20 from beyond the three-point arc. They trailed by 12 to Wisconsin with just over 7 minutes remaining, and they proceeded to go on a 23-5 run to close out the game and defeat the Badgers 68-62. The win pushes the Hawkeyes to 6-3 in the conference, which is good for a tie for third place with the Maryland Terrapins. Coincidentally, Maryland is Iowa's next opponent. They play on Thursday night in College Park. The Iowa State women have a really tough task ahead of them tonight as they take on number 2 Baylor in Waco. The Bears are a perfect 6-0 in conference with an average margin of victory of right around 28 points per game. The Iowa wrestling program has its sights set on building a new training facility. The facility would be fully funded by gifts and would feature an expanded state-of-the-art training space and a Hall of Champions. It would be located south of Carver Hawkeye Arena and connect via a tunnel. Some Iowa baseball news. Tom Gorzolani, the former Chicago Cub, served as the Iowa volunteer assistant and pitching coach last year. It has been announced that he will be the director of player development for Rick Heller's staff this season. High school basketball tonight on 107.5 and 102.3 FM, as well as 1600 AM. We have a boys game as Cedar Rapids Kennedy travels to Linmar. And on the south, or on 106.3 FM, I should say, we have South Tama at Clear Creek Amana. Both of those games will have a 7:20 pregame show.
Iowa State women taking on number 1 Baylor tonight, and then Baylor and the Iowa State men tomorrow. So we'll get you plenty of Cyclone discussion over the next couple days here. Also, Gary Rima set to join us tomorrow. A big win over the weekend for UNI as they took down Loyola on Sunday in overtime. Gary always joins us on Wednesdays at 4:30. So life beyond Iowa. We do understand that. You don't want to just hear about the Hawkeyes, but right now, you can make the argument that they're the most compelling sports story in the state outside of Iowa wrestling, which has a huge home duel on Friday against number 2 Penn State. Iowa announcing earlier today that they will institute shuttle bus service from Hancher Auditorium to Carver Hawkeye Arena for the remainder of the wrestling schedule to alleviate the parking and traffic issues at Carver. And that is in effect beginning Friday for Iowa and Penn State. If you missed KJ Pilcher joining the gym class, they discussed plenty of Iowa-Penn State wrestling. And you can also listen to the podcast at kgymradio.com or tune in tomorrow when Mark Ironside will be discussing wrestling here in the studio. Brought to you by the Kurt Gustafson Agency. And speaking of the website, kgymradio.com, vote in our poll question there. How do things play out for the Iowa basketball team over the next two games? Again, they go to Maryland and then host Illinois on Sunday. 2-0, a split, or do they go 0-2 the remainder of the week? Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot, where I can speak personally. 4 to 5 men can run up one heck of a lunch tab at Emil's. They made me pay today, literally and figuratively, We're going 0-6 on the Pick 6 presented by Emil's Hideaway, the final edition of which will be coming your way Friday on the Gym Class at about 3:40. It is going to be the Super 12 edition of the Pick 6. We have 12 items that we will be picking on Friday for the Super Bowl featuring Kansas City and San Francisco. So tune in. Somebody's going to walk away with a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway. And as we mentioned, we've got something very nice for you today just for listening to the next 25 minutes. Before 5 o'clock, we got a pair of tickets to see Korn and Breaking Benjamin coming to the U.S. Cellular Center on the 15th of February. We'll give those away again sometime in the next 25 minutes. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Very emotional night at Carver Hawkeye Arena last night for Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa players as members of the basketball world. They were clearly in mourning along with a number of other people following Sunday's helicopter crash in California. You'll hear what Fran McCaffrey and some of the players had to say about their tribute to Kobe Bryant when we return after this.
It is inevitable at this point. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. There are a lot of people still running Windows 7 because they don't want to make that change. I very much empathize and understand, and we all do at Network Computer Solutions. That's where we're here to help, to be honest with you and get you through that process to be able to keep your business run effectively.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
TCB Pool Hall, it's the real deal. Regulation full-size tables, check. 10 of them. Cold beer, check. 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. $2 domestic bottles, check. Every day of the week. Nobody fake, nothing filtered. That's the kind of place you want to hang out, right? Check. TCB Pool Hall. Hang out, play pool, drink cold beer. The $2 domestic bottles every day kind. At TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Ped Mall, downtown Iowa City.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
The Iowa Attorney General's Office has dedicated a hotline for survivors of clergy abuse. Advocates are available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. through 4:30 p.m. to take confidential reports and refer survivors to resources. Know that you are not alone. Your story could help us better understand the issue and what actions to take. To make a confidential report, call 855-620-7000 or visit iowaattorneygeneral.gov.
Sponsored by the Office of the Iowa Attorney General and aired in cooperation with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
What are you doing, Dave? We need help with payroll.
I'm doing squats, Mr. Employee of the Month. I'm taking your advice and I'm working my butt off.
That's not what I meant.
Glutes of steel. Feel them. Right here.
Oh, Dave, now I have to call HR.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month. You'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
4:36. Welcome back in the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming your way on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3. 106.3 FM, still on 107.5 FM as well as online at kgymradio.com. Buttons is itching to give away those tickets to see Korn and Breaking Benjamin. I said before 5 o'clock. I meant before 5 o'clock. He would like to give them away now. I am not allowing him to do so. Hold on. Hold on to those tickets, but we will get those to a lucky listener coming up before the top of the hour. Your opportunity to see the Winter Tour 2020 with Korn and Breaking Benjamin as they come back to the U.S. Cellular Center. Always a popular show. Tickets on sale now at the U.S. Cellular Center box office or at Ticketmaster.com. We mentioned going into the break that it was an emotional night last night at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. And certainly, the basketball world continues to mourn the passing of Kobe Bryant, and we discussed quite a bit yesterday on the program his impact on the game, but it was clear last night that to the Iowa players and to college-age basketball players in general, this wasn't just losing a Hall of Fame player in Kobe, but this was losing somebody bigger than that. And by the way, the Basketball Hall of Fame has announced today that they are waiving the traditional waiting period on the Hall of Fame and are inducting Kobe Bryant immediately, which I think is interesting and certainly well-deserved because he was the first ballot Hall of Famer to begin with. But I want to play for you Connor McCaffrey, who was sort of the ringleader of the Iowa players. If you noticed last night, all of the Hawkeyes were wearing various models of Nike shoes in the Kobe Bryant line. Even Fran McCaffrey got in on the act, and we'll hear Fran, I thought, really opened up and shared some information later on and toward the tail end of his news conference. We'll have that for you here as well. But a number of the players last night told me and the rest of the media that Connor McCaffrey was sort of the guy that got the ball rolling on this. So this is Connor talking about the meal on Sunday afternoon when the news first broke that the team was together when they found out that Kobe Bryant had passed away and then deciding that they needed to do something to honor his memory.
You know, we're all at Monica's for pregame meal, and we all kind of looked at each other, and we're like, yo, is everyone seeing this? And, you know, kind of, we were like, no, this can't be true. You know, there's no way. Kobe, you know, there's no way. And it just kept, more stuff kept coming out, and it kind of took the life out of everyone. You know, we couldn't, no one ate, no one was hungry, no, like, you lose every feeling that you have. And, you know, Kobe being the person that he was, you want to be able to honor him in any way that you can. You know, you're praying for his family, you know, everyone who's going through that. But, you know, us just trying to do something like wearing the shoes, for example, is just trying to, you know, show respect for what he did for the game, just being the legend that he is.
So I talked with Luka Garza after the game last night. He changed shoes at halftime because he was uncomfortable with the Kobes that he had on. Joe Wieskamp, I think, wore them during warm-ups but did not wear them for the actual game. He said that his feet feel uncomfortable. He doesn't like the fit and the mold of them as well. So some of the players adapted better than others. But I thought it was a nice gesture. There were a number of players that wrote on the shoes messages, the Mamba mentality. I think Garza had that on his shoes, a number of eights, a number of 24s, both numbers that Bryant wore during his time with the Lakers.
I had a discussion last night with one of my younger brothers who is, by all means, a Kobe guy. I think that anybody that grew up watching the NBA, the people who were really invested, you had a guy, and a lot of people who were Kobe fans or were diehard Kobe fans, following his every move, watching every single game, sort of having that celebration when he comes back from that Achilles injury. And the one thing that he pointed out to me was, think about how many basketball players at the college level and now in the NBA were inspired by him. Not just inspired by him as far as maybe modeling their game after him, maybe even probably even inspired to play basketball in general by Kobe Bryant. The guy has been, for us millennials, for us between the age of 20 and 30, he's just always been there. He's always been in the spotlight and was around for so long, and you just got used to seeing Kobe on a basketball court. And so I can't imagine how it was, not just for folks in the NBA, not just for men's college basketball, but for women's college basketball, just for everybody between the age of 18 and about 35 who plays the game of basketball right now at the highest level.
I mentioned a little bit of this in what I wrote today at KGYMradio.com about what we're discussing right now, the Iowa players' reaction and Fran McCaffrey's reaction to Kobe Bryant's passing. But the majority of the players on Iowa's roster were born between 1997 and 2000. I think Jordan Bohannon is the oldest player. He
right.
He had a 1997 birthday, and Joe Toussaint was born in 2000. Kobe left high school and went to the NBA in 1996. So as these kids were coming of age, you remember the first time that you became cognizant of basketball, football, baseball. Myself, I was 5-6 years old. So as these kids are coming of age,
right,
coming to the game of basketball, Kobe is peak Kobe.
He's winning championships. He's
winning titles,
and scoring titles, and
yes, that Mamba mentality is emerging. And so you have the emergence of this generation of players growing up. And you'll hear Fran McCaffrey. I want to play the Fran McCaffrey clip here. It's just a tad over 2 minutes, so my apologies to the University of Iowa. They can send the Cedar Rapids police to the studio and arrest me here for going a couple seconds over. But Fran mentions a very big name in basketball, and it's one for a generation of people my age and older. When you hear Michael Jordan's name, it makes you stop, and it makes you want to automatically go, no. Yeah, to this generation, the one that was on the court last night, he's their Michael. And you'll hear Fran say that and more here. For those of you unaware, Fran revealed last night that he had a number of ties to Kobe Bryant. Some people may or may not have been aware of some of these. And here he is in his own words on what, for him, you could tell was a very emotional night.
The team decided to all wear Kobe's. That's why I wore Kobe's. You know, he and I played for the same AAU coach, Sam Rhines, real Philly basketball legend. He was my mentor. I knew his dad really well, Joe Bryant. I knew his uncle, Chubby Cox. Recruited him when I was at Notre Dame. I spoke to him on the phone, went and saw him, took my head coach to go see him in the Palestri, played against Rip Hamilton, one of the best high school games I ever saw. You know, those of you who were at the game when we played Penn State, that's how loud it was for that high school game. The playoffs are at the Palestra in the state of Pennsylvania, at least in the eastern part. So, I just, thoughts and prayers go out, for his family. Like I said, knowing his parents, knowing the rest of his family, knowing the impact that he made. I think in particular on the generation that is our guys right now, like us older guys, a little more Michael. And then, for me, I watched Kobe grow up. I watched him in high school, watched him when he was a kid. But these guys, it really hit home for them. And when they had the idea to wear the Kobe's, I said, I'm on board. I'm going to wear Kobe's as well.
Did you say anything to the guys?
Well, it's strange because we practiced yesterday, and as soon as practice was over, I got up to my office. Kirk and I were watching film, and then I got a text from Margaret. She was at my son Jack's game and said, hey, Kobe was killed in a helicopter crash. I'm like, oh my. So we looked on ESPN. They didn't do it yet. They hadn't anything on yet because they wanted to make sure. TMZ runs with everything. And then, everything kind of stopped for everybody. The players were really affected. But when I got here today, they had already decided that this was a meaningful thing to them, and they wanted to wear the shoes, and guys had stuff written on their sneakers and on their wristbands and whatnot. So that's what we did.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that was how Fran McCaffrey wrapped up his news conference last night. And small world. Played for the same AAU coach as Kobe Bryant in Philadelphia and knew Joe Bryant, who's Kobe's father, Jelly Bean Bryant, as well as his uncle. If I caught that name correctly, I believe Chubby Cox is Kobe Bryant's uncle. And playing that clip in no way, shape, or form was for me to get that clip on the air here. I want to be very clear about that. Our sympathies go out to all members of Kobe's family, including his uncle, Chubby Cox, who I believe played for the Chicago Bulls. 319-366-1600.
What are you trying to do to me here, Todd?
Green Bay Dustin says, Kobe was in the NBA from when I was 7 until I was 27, and basketball was my favorite sport to play growing up, so naturally I felt a connection. That's what we're talking about here. You feel a connection to these athletes. And, you know, 35-31, I mentioned this in the piece that I wrote today at KGYMradio.com. I'm not here to lionize somebody who a number of people out there don't think is worth lionizing. You take the good, you take the bad, but in this instance, you've got a guy who really, really connected with an entire generation of people who played the sport. And they feel a tremendous amount of loss. And so this is the biggest story in the sports world. And I can't help the fact that Kobe Bryant wasn't a perfect individual. I'm not a perfect individual. I don't think anybody listening to the show probably is a perfect individual. So I've done my best to approach this from the standpoint we're talking about a guy who played basketball and trying to keep it within the realm of the basketball sphere. But I do understand, and I remember 2003 very well. And I mentioned 2011 yesterday on the program and the comment that he made that drew a $100,000 fine from the NBA. And he grew from that. And he changed the way that he viewed his world. And I give him credit for that. But from the basketball standpoint, it was difficult. You had Connor McCaffrey and C.J. Frederick, and Joe Wieskamp last night. These guys were all pretty emotional. Even Luka Garza,
yeah,
whose game is nowhere similar to Kobe. I mean, they're about as far removed from one another as possible, but Luka Garza is your basketball connoisseur on the team. The guy who watches old VHS tapes of guys from the 80s. As somebody who appreciates the game, Luka had some very nice complimentary things to say as well. We don't have that clip ready at the moment, but this is a situation that hit home with virtually everybody in the basketball world last night. And Fran McCaffrey, again, with the ties there, recruiting Kobe as an assistant under Digger Phelps at Notre Dame, even though Kobe did not go to college out of high school. At that time, it was still allowed. You could make the jump from high school to the NBA and made the All-Star game, right? His first year in the league. 20 years in the league, he was an All-Star 18 times.
Yeah, the 2003 incident is something that always affected the legacy of, haunted the legacy of Kobe Bryant, and rightfully so. But on this day and yesterday, the two things I'm not going to apologize for is feeling bad for the folks who have felt a sense of loss, who felt a connection, entire generation of basketball players, men and women, boys and girls who felt a connection to Kobe Bryant. And I'm also not going to apologize for feeling a tremendous sense of loss for his family and his daughters and the fact that a 13-year-old girl died. So I'm just not going to apologize for either of those things, because it's pretty clear to me through all the testimonies that he was a fantastic father, and he has a wife now that's going to have to raise their daughters by herself, and that's something that sticks with me, makes me feel sick still at this point, and I will not apologize for that.
319-366-1600, the First Federal Credit Union text line. We have heard from a number of you and continue to do so throughout the day. Always love getting feedback from the listeners. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register is set to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on not only last night's game, but the two that are in front of the Hawkeyes at the moment, heading to Maryland on Thursday, and then a huge showdown with the Illinois Fighting Illini on Sunday. If you want to go back and revisit the all Big Ten, all villain team that the listeners were trying to help us build, there were a number of Illinois names on that list over the years. This is a rivalry dating back to Jimmy Collins and Bruce Pearl and Deion Thomas in the mid-80s. And who would have thought, when you take a look at the Big Ten standings, if we would have said back in October that you would have Illinois and Michigan State atop the Big Ten right now, and Iowa just a game back in the standings, along with a 6-3 Rutgers team.
And it's
an amazing season of Big Ten basketball, and the beautiful thing is we are only at the halfway point.
Black is white and up is down. What is college basketball, and what is the Big Ten right now? Who is good? Who is the best team in the Big Ten? Who's the biggest disappointment? I know we're going to get to Woodja later, but all of those questions I want answers to, and I don't have those answers right now.
There's only one team in the Big Ten that has more than three victories away from their home arena, and that is the team that is coming to Carver-Hawk Arena on Sunday. Illinois is 4-3 away from the State Farm Center, 11-1 at home, a huge part of that 15-5 record. Illinois and Michigan State 7-2, Maryland, Rutgers, Iowa 6-3. And so you've got Maryland and Illinois ahead of you on the schedule. What's the outcome, the likely outcome of these next two games for the Hawkeyes? That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. Stop in and tell Jamie, Chris, and the rest of them that I sent you their way. And no, I'm not paying your lunch tab the way that I picked up the tab.
Isn't the tab still open for all the listeners?
I made sure it was signed and closed, and I said, don't let anybody add to this. I don't want Duke sneaking down here again tonight, trying to put some food on here, or UNASH coming in after the high school game tonight, trying to throw more food on my tab. I'm not going to stand for it. 319-366-1600. A big thank you, by the way, to First Federal Credit Union, the sponsor for the text line. You can still get $200 just for opening a new checking account at First Federal. Check out details at firstfedcu.com/KGY. And we'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Yeah, I know, you're still listening. We got something to give you. We're going to do that after this.
You work hard, and you deserve to get the most for your money, like health insurance coverage with the largest, most accessible networks, so you can choose where you want to go for care. Like having multiple plans so you can choose the coverage that works best for you. Mostly, you deserve to have the health insurance expertise Iowans have been trusting for over 80 years. Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. To find the small business or individual plan that's right for you, talk to your local agent about Wellmark today. Get started at wellmark.com.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Time for an oil change? We're ready to help at AutoZone. We've got more ways to help you protect your engine and your wallet, like our great deals on STP oil, starting at just $16.99 for a 5-quart jug of STP conventional motor oil. And if you need a tool for the job, you can borrow over 100 specialty ones with our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program. Getting the job done just got easier. Visit AutoZone.com to get started. Deposit required. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. It's a wireless world, and everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. So go with Raycons. Raycons start about half the price of other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing. And Raycon's latest model, the E25s, are the best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a comfortable noise-isolating fit. See what the hype is about. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/will. buyraycon.com/WILL. That's buyraycon.com/will.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Ask for it at your local automotive retailer.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Next stop, Graham Street. And Brian in the khaki shorts, your GNL energy bill went up 60% this month. Seems like you'd want to know. Stand clear of the closing doors.
So, meet Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong, like increases to a recurring bill, then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. Limitations apply.
Welcome back in, 4:58. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 6 o'clock tonight. And Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register is set to join us coming up in just a few minutes to continue the Hawkeye basketball discussion. Iowa probably shouldn't have had that one last night, yet the Hawkeyes still managed to pull it out. We, speaking of having things, Buttons is getting tired of people just randomly calling the number, hoping that they're getting lucky. Start calling 319-366-1600. And if you're a caller number six, we've got a pair of tickets to see Korn and Breaking Benjamin coming to the U.S. Cellular Center on the 15th of February. It's their 2020 winter tour, and you can be there if you're caller number six right now to 319-366-1600. Buttons will let us know who our winner is and get Chad Lystico lined up for you next. We'll kick the 5 o'clock hour off after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
PN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening. The L.A. County Medical Examiner said today all nine bodies in the helicopter crash that claimed the lives of Lakers legend Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others have been recovered from the crash site. Another first for Zion Williamson. First overall pick in the 2019 NBA draft tonight. The superstar of the Pelicans will play in the first road game of his young NBA career against the Cavaliers. Williamson on a minutes restriction as he continues his way back from meniscus surgery. Probably will be around the 27-minute mark, like in Sunday's win. Plenty to like about Zion's game, but he needs improvement in one area, believes former NBA player Damon Jones.
He's athletic, guy that's running the floor. He could push the basketball on the dribble. One thing that I do have a problem with is right now he's not making his free throws.
Okay.
And to be as athletic as he is, and a guy that's going to have to finish at the rim, he's going to have to be able to make free throws.
Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo won't play tonight against the Wizards because of a sore shoulder.
Coming up Wednesday, we are live from Miami for the Super Bowl. We got a ton of great guests coming on and also prop bets, like which team will score first or which Golic will get the most sunburned. Both. Wednesday on Golic and Wingo, live from Miami, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust since 2004.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Carver Hawkeye Arena, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop, don't stop. I'm the dream, you should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Next stop, Graham Street. And Brian in the khaki shorts. Your GNL energy bill went up 60% this month. Seems like you'd want to know. Stand clear of the closing doors.
So, meet Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong, like increases to a recurring bill, then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. Limitations apply.
Redbox is the newest movies fresh from the theater. And now, they've got a dinner and a movie deal too good to pass up. Right now, enjoy a free one-night movie rental at the box when you submit a receipt from any one of your favorite restaurants. Dine in, pick up, or delivery. Don't wait. Deals this delicious don't last forever. Go to redbox.com/dinner to get started. And for more info, offer ends February 19th, 2020 at 11:59 Central or while supplies last. Charges apply for additional nights. Void where prohibited.
Welcome back in, 5:04 on a Tuesday evening. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM, as well as online at kgymradio.com. Plenty more to get to over the next 60 minutes. Unfortunately, the tickets are gone at this point. We've got a number of people on the text line who are hoping that they can get their hands on them. Unless your name is Jake from Cedar Rapids, you are out of luck tonight. Jake is going to be seeing Korn and Breaking Benjamin at the U.S. Cellular Center on February 15th. You can, too. Two ways to do so. Either continue listening here throughout the remainder of the week or buy your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or the U.S. Cellular Center box office. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register is with us now to continue our discussion of Iowa basketball. And, Chad, Hawkeyes are playing pretty good basketball last night, notwithstanding a five-game winning streak heading to Maryland on Thursday, 68-62 last night over the Badgers. An ugly game, but did Iowa learn anything from winning ugly last night?
That's a good question. I think they learned that about themselves, that they are never out of a game, especially when you play good defense down the stretch. I mean, Iowa's defense in the last 7.5 minutes to me is what stood out more than anything, as opposed to, you know, whatever they did offensively, you know, to get those final points. To put on a 23-5 game ending run over 7.5 minutes takes good defense. And I think they showed they're playing a lot better defense than they have the last couple of years.
Was it just important to show themselves that even if they have a miserable shooting night, that this team can battle back from pretty much any adversity that's hit them this season?
Well, I think it helps to have defined roles on the team. You don't have, you know, guys kind of going out of their way to try to make a play. You know, you've got Luka Garza, you've got Joe Wieskamp, you've got C.J. Frederick, who can, that everyone counts on to step up and hit big threes, and he hit a really big one last night. And then, you do get contributions as well from Joe Toussaint, you know, in a pinch when just a couple weeks ago, you know, Bakari Evelyn had kind of taken that role as sort of that ball handler in the shorter rotation. So it's kind of a reminder that these guys are, you know, complement each other well. And, this is a good team. I think that's kind of the bottom line that I come away with this, nine games into the Big Ten season. This is a good team, a better team than I thought it would be, for sure, especially considering the injuries. And, you know, I think fans and everyone alike are kind of enjoying this ride.
Was last night another key step in Toussaint's development? He spent some time on the bench there in the second half, and when he got back in, that seemed to be sort of when things turned for Iowa.
Yeah, I noticed when he got pulled, I believe it was in the second half is when he was starting to get into it with Davison just a little bit, and then they pulled him out of the game, and I think cooled him off, and then yeah, you're right. He you know, he played like gangbusters down the stretch. Had a couple 3-point plays, one to kind of start that run, and one to put Iowa in the lead at last. So yeah, definitely needed that. And as I kind of pointed out on my post game podcast, the you know, Toussaint's kind of speed and quick twitch and just ability to get to the basket so quickly really stands out against a team like Wisconsin that doesn't have a ton of, you know, plays a little slower tempo. And so you really stands out when you see Joe racing up and down the floor against those guys.
Chad Lystico with us at the Des Moines Register. You can read his work at hawkcentral.com. Since you brought up Brad Davison, I'll ask you, is this something that the Big Ten should look at, the incident last night with Connor McCaffrey? According to a number of eagle-eyed viewers, it's not the first time that he's run afoul of an opposing team and the officials. Is there an issue with Brad Davison?
Well, I definitely think they should look at it. I have not heard at all if they are. Yeah, I think he deserves at least a one-game suspension, if not two. I know the Illinois player who you know, stepped on that guy at Purdue or whatever, got two games. And I believe, or from my understanding, that was like a first offense. So, yeah, Davison definitely has a history. I mean, I think it should at least be looked at. I don't know all the precedents, et cetera, you know, in the Big Ten office, but it seems like it should be a suspendable offense. I mean, if Connor hadn't been protecting himself, as Rob Howe pointed out with a very savvy tweet, you know, he might have been injured a lot worse. And, you know, give credit to Connor, too, for keeping his cool in that moment, because if somebody did that to my private area in the middle of the game, I don't know how I would react. And
well, it was just his
kind of calmly telling the officials, and they got to the bottom of it.
It was just his leg, according to Greg Gard after the game.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I misspoke. Yeah, just the leg. Just grabbed the leg. Grabbed a leg trying to get around the screen. I forgot.
The other incident late in the game where Luka Garza was called for a technical foul. Were you surprised that he got a technical foul in that situation? Because it looked like he got whacked pretty hard in the face. And while he was down, a Wisconsin player stood over him yelling obscenities at him.
Well, you know, not having heard the conversation word for word, whatever happened, I mean, I can't say for sure. I mean, who knows exactly what Lucas said or whatever, but I don't know. It was probably one of those things where the official sort of counters what happened earlier.
Right.
Obviously that call on Davison was a major game-changing call. I think it was the correct call, but maybe there was a little bit of payback, I guess, or whatever they call that. What do you call that?
A makeup call. Yeah. That's what it felt like to me.
Makeup call, yeah. Somewhat of a makeup or whatever. So that could be, that, to me, that maybe was part of it. Just speculating, though.
Chad, this is a discussion I was having with somebody yesterday around the office, but which one of these two games now ahead for the Hawkeyes, Thursday at Maryland or Sunday at home against Illinois, do you think is of the bigger concern for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes?
Ooh, boy. Well, they're both – let me start by saying they're both tricky, tough games. I mean, Illinois 7-2 atop the Big Ten, but I think the feeling there is – although they've got some good road wins, I mean, I think there's a feeling that they're going to come back to earth here at some point now that they're the target. So I think the Maryland game probably to me is going to be a little bit more telling, because you're going into a road environment where, you know, that it can be a tough environment to play in, but it's not what it used to be. But you're also facing a team with revenge on its mind, a team that's coming off a road win at Indiana themselves. And frankly, Iowa has not really shot the ball that well on the road. I mean, take away, you know, C.J. Frederick at Northwestern from deep. I mean, I kind of want to see if Iowa can hit some threes, especially after this last performance on the road. Joe Wieskamp in particular, his last two road games, he's 1-for-13 combined from three-point range. So, you know, this would be a huge lift for the whole season. I mean, Maryland's actually a higher net/KenPom, whatever you want to look at, and you would get the season sweep over Maryland. So you'd have the season sweep of Maryland, one-play wins against Rutgers and Wisconsin. You're starting to win a lot of these tiebreakers before you even hit the halfway mark of the Big Ten.
Chad, it feels ridiculous me even asking this question because Luka Garza had 21 points and 18 rebounds last night. But he went 6 of 17 from the field. Was there something in talking to Luka and Fran that maybe Wisconsin did to slow him down a little bit offensively and force some more misses?
Well, I think Wisconsin does play a physical style.
Right.
They definitely didn't give him much space. I mean, I think you saw that. And, he probably was forcing the issue just a little bit, but he's been making those things this year too. I mean, where he's kind of spinning and whirling into the lane. So give Wisconsin credit for a good defensive plan. I think Luka, he probably missed a couple jumpers he normally makes, missed a couple, bunnies that he normally makes. So, I mean, if he hits three of those, he's 9 of 17. So I don't know if, I don't think anybody cracked the code on Luka Garza. I think he just sort of had an off night where he was pressing maybe a little bit. And Wisconsin just kind of plays, they know how to play a good, slow, defensive, stay in front of your style. So I guess that would be my answer to that. I don't think they solved him by any means.
Is there a team in the Big Ten that is more difficult to prepare for than Wisconsin? It just seems like they're Iowa's kryptonite. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they have an Ethan Happ in the lineup or not, I thought Happ graduated and out of the picture. Going to be a different story last night, and that there was Wisconsin again dictating that slog style of play.
Yeah, that sure is a awful brand of basketball to watch. Win or lose, whatever. It's so painful. It just reminds me of the Licklider years for Iowa. It's just so boring. I talking to some Wisconsin fans. This is an aside, but man, I think they're kind of getting tired of this. Slow down junk, and I think they're getting tired of Greg Gard. Honestly, I thought he was completely outcoached last night, but remind me what the question was. Difficult team to prepare for. Yeah, I think it probably is one of the tougher ones, just because number one, it goes counter to everything Iowa wants to do, and number two, they've been good at Carver because they take Carver out of the game for the most part. So I think that was another significant piece of this victory for the Hawkeyes, is they kind of got over that Wisconsin hump maybe a little bit, and finally got the crowd involved late, and then things got rolling.
I want to go back to the first thing that you said, because Todd brought this up in hour number one. He sort of echoed the same thing that you said, that maybe the seat is getting a little bit warm underneath Greg Gard. Are you sensing that as well?
Yeah, I mean, I am, yes. Obviously this Kobe King stuff, be interested to see what comes of that, if there's any, what side people jump on, whatever his outcome is with the program. And it just seems like, he was kind of the successor, obviously, to Bo Ryan, but he's just not quite Bo Ryan. I mean, I think that's kind of what's happening here. And, who knows? Wisconsin is known for, getting to the NCAA tournament as an 8 seed and, making a run. So you can't really discount them, but it just what you saw on the floor last night with that team, it just didn't seem like there was much there to get excited about.
Chad, before we let you go, I know you cover Iowa from a number of perspectives. A pretty big wrestling duel on tap Friday at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Are you going to dip your toes into the water there?
Yes, sir. That's the plan. I mean, I'm flying to Maryland or D.C. tomorrow for the Maryland game on Thursday night. If you want to know the itinerary, my flight is supposed to land at Des Moines Airport at 3:36 p.m. On Friday, at which point I will take the shuttle to Economy Lot 1 and then start driving to to Iowa City that night. So hopefully everything's on time. As you guys probably know, I'm a big passionate wrestling, fan, you would call me, but just, it's fun for me to cover. It's so refreshing to cover Iowa wrestling because the characters are so fun, entertaining, and usually you're talking about a highly ranked Iowa team of importance. So ton of great duels on Friday night. I will be there if everything goes well.
What's the old haunt in Washington, D.C. when you're back in the area? Are you hitting any of your old stomping grounds?
Well, for dinner, I've lined up a trip with my buddy to Luke's Lobster Roll. It's a lobster roll place they have out there. They have them in New York, too. But I got to get one of those. And then the best craft beer bar out there is called Church Key. So I think that's in the plans tomorrow night as well.
Well, safe travels back east and hopefully to Carver-Hawkeye Arena on Friday night for the Iowa-Penn State duel. Chad Lystico, the Des Moines Register. Again, you can read his work at hawkcentral.com. And we'll see you down the road, Chad. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
Chad does.
This is the next food item that I really want.
A lobster roll?
Yes. Those things look delicious. I know you're not much of a seafood person.
I'm not much of
a huge
seafood
person.
Now, lobster is... Lobster is mild enough that it doesn't really bother me.
Okay.
I don't do seafood buttery. That is
fishy,
powerfully fishy, which is ironic because, well, what is seafood, moron? Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, give me a nice flaky white fish that is sort of mild and doesn't taste like anything. It's just sustenance.
Cod.
There you go. Cod.
You're not much of a grouper
scrod,
fan, though. Or...
Any of your odds? Absolutely.
No red snapper.
I hate salmon. Just absolutely despise salmon. For the record, why people need to know this about me? I have no idea. It's the show went completely off the rails.
You brought up lobster rolls, and I got hungry. That's why. Sorry, guys.
The show
That's
went completely
fault.
Off
it's
the rails
Todd's.
Back in the 4 o'clock hour when I flirted with disaster with the. The combination of where Connor McCaffrey was hit and then Kobe Bryant's uncle and just this, we talked about walking up to the line between villain and goon. This is me walking up to the line of disaster on the radio here in Eastern Iowa. 319-366-1600. Can't go wrong with a good lobster roll, right?
No, I don't think you can.
Luke's Lobster Rolls.
1723 is offering to do a crawfish boil for us. Oh, those are delicious.
No. And you're going to get Cajun Troy on my case now, too. I don't do crustaceans. Well, you're going to say, well,
you
just
don't
said
like shrimp.
Somebody's going to bust me on that because I just said I do occasionally eat lobster. Best lobster bisque I've ever had in my life was at Kraft Steak in the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Tom Colicchio's restaurant. It tasted a whole lot better when I thought it was comped, when I had to pay for it once I get back to Eastern Iowa. Then I regretted the decision of ordering it, but all's well that ends well. 319-366-1600. Again, let's go ahead and get to a little bit of the audio. I didn't get a chance to get to Joe Wieskamp after the game. Talked a little bit about the resiliency of Iowa in that game and the turning point, the layup, and basically the final couple minutes of last night's game.
In the huddle, Connor could kind of tell that, you know, he kind of hooked him in the groin area. So we had thought that might be the case. And then obviously a big swing right there, my layup, and then the free throws to follow.
What's it say about this team? You guys have won in impressive fashion and clicked on all cylinders. That wasn't tonight, and yet you can still come out with a victory over a good Wisconsin team.
We're a resilient team. We're going to continue to fight no matter what. A little frustrating game for me personally, but everyone did a good job of keeping me locked in, focused on other things, focused on rebounding, defending, and trying to impact the games in other ways. That's kind of what everyone, that's kind of their motto on our team. Obviously, Connor hasn't scored much lately, but he's doing so many other things to help our team win. And, you know, when the shot's not falling, he's got to just do other things.
Joe Wieskamp last night after Iowa's 68-62 victory. Greg Gard, Wisconsin's embattled head coach. I agree with Chad. I agree with you. I think this is sort of the end of the line for Greg Gard, perhaps the last time that we see him at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, especially if things continue to go the way that they are with this Kobe King situation, and reportedly the sophomore not happy with the direction of the program, so he's just not going to return to the team at all this season. Greg Gard was put on the spot last night after the game was over. What went wrong for Wisconsin, or what went right for Iowa? And this was his response.
I thought two things. One, we didn't finish out defensive possessions. We gave up too many offensive rebounds that ended up, you know, they shoot 22 free throws in the second half. Part of that's the stuff that was going on at the end. But we didn't clean up the glass well enough. We needed to secure a few more rebounds there when we had – you knew they were going to make a run. And then the second thing, I thought we got too tentative against some of the three-quarter court pressure. And it got us out of rhythm offensively a little bit. We played with better pace in the first part of the second half. And that latter part, we got more hesitant against it. And we needed to be more aggressive against it coming up through the floor.
So Greg Gard last night, the press certainly affected Wisconsin. I think anybody that watched the game could understand that. And Wisconsin is a team that lives on the boards. And Iowa out-rebounded Wisconsin 46-40 last night, including a 13-9 advantage on the offensive glass. That will add up to a loss in Big Ten play for the Badgers, who are now, again, 12-9 overall, 5-5 in conference play, and seemingly at a crossroads. Another team that's at a crossroads, the Michigan Wolverines, one of two Big Ten games on tap tonight. Michigan is in Lincoln, where the Wolverines are taking on Fred Hoiberg and the Huskers. Isaiah Livers, still not in uniform for the Wolverines. Stay away from that game, by the way. It's very tempting. It looks extremely tempting to hammer the Nebraska money line, which is paying back $1.70 for every dollar wagered at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. That game screams trap. What has Michigan's lost four in a row?
Yeah,
right?
But they're also without Xavier Simpson.
No Xavier Simpson, no Isaiah Livers. They've lost four in a row.
Nebraska's, their team leader just got suspended.
Nebraska's awful, and yet the money line is plus 170. It just, Big Ten road teams are starting to play a little bit better. That early season trend of the home teams taking care of business, it might be time to start fading that. I would not be surprised if Michigan wins that game tonight. The other game in Big Ten play, one that I am heavily in favor of, Rutgers at home as a 3.5-point favorite over the Purdue Boilermakers. So there you have it, the official Fade Todd parlay of the night in the Big Ten. You can go ahead and play Nebraska and Purdue, because I would lean Michigan and I would definitely hit Rutgers. So I couldn't hit water if I fell out of a boat right now as far as my picks are concerned. That's the reason why I had to buy lunch for everybody today at Emil's Hideaway. Play responsibly if you are wagering on any of those games tonight. But Rutgers is a 3.5-point favorite at home, where they are undefeated this year. I think they're 11-0 at the rack. I will roll with them over Purdue, and I will stay away from Michigan and Nebraska, because Nebraska, it just looks too easy. Even though the Huskers are one of the worst teams in the Big Ten, it just, you look and go, man, no, Nebraska, Michigan is awful right now. And you mentioned Xavier Simpson. Is that it's indefinite, or is it a one-game suspension?
I don't think they've necessarily,
but he's
specified
out tonight for sure.
He will be out tonight. That's what we do know. Man. Violation of team rules. I think it's one game.
How about the Wolverines? They go from unranked to, they had that performance along with the Iowa State, wherever they were at the beginning of the season, in the Bahamas. They rocket up the rankings, and now they have completely fallen back to earth.
Them and Ohio State in that same boat, where we saw both of them in the top five, and now we're talking about both of them missing the NCAA tournament unless they get their butts in gear quickly. I mean, and it doesn't look like they're going to.
It's almost as if I'm setting up a topic for the next segment. But I wouldn't do that before we can get a big board update in with Alex Kuhn.
It was an ugly night for the Iowa Hawkeye basketball team offensively. They were just 3 of 20 from beyond the three-point arc. They trailed by 12 to Wisconsin with just over 7 minutes remaining. And then they proceeded to go on a 23-5 run to close out the game and defeat the Badgers 68-62. The win pushes the Hawkeyes to 6-3 in the conference. It's good for a tie for third place with the Maryland Terrapins. Coincidentally, Maryland is Iowa's next opponent. They play on Thursday night in College Park. The Iowa State women have a really tough task ahead of them tonight as they take on number 2 Baylor. That game is going to be in Waco. The Bears are a perfect 6-0 in conference games with an average margin of victory of right around 28 points per game. The Iowa wrestling program has set its sights on building a new training facility. The facility would be funded entirely by gifts and would feature an expanded state-of-the-art training space and a Hall of Champions. It would be located south of Carver-Hawkeye Arena and connect
to the facility via a tunnel. Some Iowa baseball news. Last year, Tom Gorzolani joined Rick Heller's staff as a volunteer assistant who worked with the pitchers. This year, he is going to be back now in a full-time role as the director of player development. High school basketball tonight on 107.5 FM and 102.3 FM, along with 1600 AM. A boys game between Cedar Rapids Kennedy and Linmar. Scott Unash will have the call at 7:20. Also at 7:20 on 106.3 FM, we have a girls matchup between South Tama and Clear Creek Amana.
All right, we will step aside and take a quick timeout. When we come back, yes, more Big Ten basketball discussion coming your way on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM, back after this.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was five, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Every dang time. You need to call to make an appointment somewhere and you remember right after the place closes. Linder Tire gets it. So now you can make your appointment online at lindertire.com. You can even see your tire options by typing in your license number. Schedule any Linder Tire appointment at lindertire.com.
Keep your ride in good shape for the season with everything from oil change to alternator check. And find this month's specials at lindertire.com.
Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
TCB Pool Hall, it's the real deal. Regulation full-size tables, check. 10 of them. Cold beer, check. 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. $2 domestic bottles, check. Every day of the week. Nobody fake, nothing filtered. That's the kind of place you want to hang out, right? Check. TCB Pool Hall. Hang out, play pool, drink cold beer. The $2 domestic bottles every day kind. At TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Ped Mall, downtown Iowa City.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
You get your sports fix on KGYM. Now, satisfy your need for smart rock on Smart FM. Just John gets you going in the morning from 6 until 10. Greg's with you middays and serves up hot and fresh smart rock on the Smart Rock Smorgasbord. And Rick's got all the best tunes for your drive home from 3 to 7. Smart FM also offers extracurricular activities on the weekends, like Live from the Soundboard and Where It's At. When you need smart rock, there's only one place to get it. Smart FM, 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Friends, let's talk about Daniel. A year ago, he resolved to stop putting off what he wanted to do, get into information technology. Daniel enrolled in My Computer Career and is now already a few months into his IT career. Make 2020 your year. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet on campus or live online just 2 times a week. It ain't rocket science. It's My Computer Career. mycomputercareer.edu.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
5:31, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn as we make our way towards 6 o'clock this evening. High school basketball on the way, as well as Iowa State women's basketball. And it's not all basketball news today on the program. Should note that the Houston Astros have a new manager. I know BJ and Marion is over the moon about the Dusty Baker era getting underway in Houston. That's actually a good hire for Houston, in my opinion, because they need somebody who's competent enough to come in and take a pretty decent roster, take care of it while all of this dust settles over the sign-stealing gate, and possibly guide them to an AL West championship and early exit from the 2020 postseason, and I think Dusty Baker is the perfect man to do just that. It's a good hire. Not a great hire, but you weren't going to get a great hire at this point. It is also Super Bowl week. We acknowledge that here, and while we were on the air tonight, received an email from one of our favorite guests, Alex.
Lee Sterling is going to be joining us on Friday.
Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports is going to be stopping by to share his thoughts on Kansas City as a 1.5-point favorite over the San Francisco 49ers. Some very interesting prop bets are out there as well at the moment. The Elite Sportsbook in Riverside has a number of them. You can check them out online at elitesportsbook.com. I saw one, I believe, elsewhere featuring George Kittle's receiving yards against Iowa's point total against Illinois on Sunday, which will be higher. Kittle, I believe the individual over-under is set somewhere around 68.5, 69 yards, something like that. But obviously, if he goes over that, I think Iowa's going to be scoring some points with the Illini. That should be a track meet at Carver-Hawkeye Arena on Sunday night. So I would lean Iowa scoring more points there. But if Kittle has a monster game in Miami, then all bets are off. No pun intended. 319-366-1600. And that game Sunday, Alex, at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, regardless of what happens Thursday at Maryland with the Hawkeyes, is going to feature two of the most surprising teams in the Big Ten this year, which sets us up for a Tuesday edition of Would Ya as we reshuffle the deck here, getting used to a two-hour program and fitting some things in that we enjoy doing here and the listeners enjoy hearing. I think Love It or Leave It will be a Thursday staple now from now on, at least in the interim. We'll do Woodges on Tuesday. Pose the question.
This is kind of a two-parter because I have discussed.
Well, time out. This is historic. I don't know if we, Buttons, have we ever had a two-part Woodja?
Yeah, we remember we used to just throw questions back and forth. We used to have multiple questions with Woodja, and then we tightened it up a little bit.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
I'm bringing up the history of Woodja. You got to.
Okay.
Got to be in tune with history, and all this right. is a historic segment.
So it's not historic now.
It's not that historic. I'm looking at the Big Ten. I'm confused. Our listeners are confused. I think you're confused, Todd. I know.
If
Buttons,
you listen to this program and you aren't confused, you are not listening to this program.
Buttons is confused. Everybody's confused. Would you tell me who the best team in the Big Ten is? And would you tell me who the most disappointing team in the Big Ten is? You have plenty of options for both.
I think it's a great question as we approach the halfway point of the season.
Right. We are one game away from that.
Yep.
For each team in the Big Ten.
Hawkeyes are 6-3 heading to Maryland, so the Maryland game will mark the halfway point. And let's not forget, this is a team that started 1-3 in Big Ten play this season. And here they are now at 6-3. Trailing only Michigan State and, wait for it, the Illinois Fighting Illini for first place. The biggest surprise to me is, you didn't ask for biggest surprise, though. You said best and worst.
The best and the biggest disappointment.
Best and biggest disappointment. I think until proven otherwise, Michigan State is still the best team in the Big Ten. The ultimate cop-out. They're in first place right now. They're 15-5, 7-2 overall. Michigan State is one of the best teams in the league every year. It's the ultimate cop-out for me to say Michigan State. I could have done my research. I could have thrown names and statistics out there from Maryland and made the case for Illinois, and you know how much I love Rutgers. But I'm going to go with the easy out here. I'm going to be lazy. I'm going to say Michigan State.
I think that's the safe way to go. I'm just not sold on that team. And I've discussed in the past college basketball and how it's very difficult to win on the road, and we're just supposed to just accept that. We're supposed to accept the fact that Michigan State was a preseason number one. Now they're a number 14 team in the country. They're They're 15-5 on the season, but they're still at the top of the Big Ten, even though they went on the road and got crushed by Purdue. Although they lost to Indiana on the road. I'm not going to count out Michigan State, but they don't have Joshua Langford. I don't think Aaron Henry is progressing at the rate that they had hoped. And Cassius Winston is a great player, but there's only a certain amount that he can do. I'm very impressed with this Illinois team because they have a great combination of defense, guard play with Io DeSumo, and if you haven't seen Kofi Coburn play, that's the matchup that I'm looking at for Luka Garza and saying he's not going to be intimidated. That is going to be a heavyweight battle between two really, really good bigs in the Big Ten. And I know Stephen Bardo, who's been calling pretty much every single Iowa game since the beginning of the season, has pointed out
he's got to be in his own personal hell spending that much time at Carver-Hawkeye Arena.
He is in Carver-Hawkeye Arena. You know, he had one of the most hilarious lines that I'd heard him utter last night when discussing how Carver-Hawkeye Arena was quiet when Iowa was down 12. He goes, "You could hear somebody change their mind in here right now." That was his description. But he pointed out that there are a lot of really good bigs in the Big Ten, but Luka Garza and Kofi Coburn are the best. And to me, Kofi Coburn looks like a potential first-round draft pick. I don't understand how he's not getting more discussion as a one-and-done.
Because he plays at Illinois. And I don't think people are taking Illinois seriously nationally yet.
And I agree with you. That's a first-round draft pick. 7 feet, 290 pounds, strong, runs like a guard. That's the scariest matchup for Iowa right now. And I think if you look at that team on paper with everything that they have, and I get that they're young and they're inexperienced, that looks like the best put-together roster on paper.
What if he ran like Greg Gard?
Then he would not be.
You don't have to answer.
He would not be.
That's...
He would not be a first round draft pick.
There you go. Maybe that answers the question of why he's
he would
not
be out of basketball
buzz.
Next season.
Stephen Bardo, it is fascinating to see him doing most of these games for the BTN for no apparent reason other than the luck of the draw or he's drawing the short stick. One of the last times that I was ever at Big Ten Media Day for basketball, which basketball is not like football. Football is a two-day event, and it's in the afternoon, and it's in downtown Chicago. Basketball Media Day for the Big Ten is at one of the hotels by O'Hare. It starts at like 7:30 in the morning. People are flying in. You do your stuff. You get out. But they had a luncheon, and we're going through the buffet line and grabbing the cold cuts and salad and whatever else. And you know, by listening to this program, I wasn't touching the salad. And the place is just absolutely jam-packed. And the only table that's open, we sit down at, and it just so happened that Stephen Bardo was right behind me in line. And so Stephen Bardo is directly to my right. And we're sitting there, and I'm having polite conversation with him, and I find him to be extremely engaging. There's a reason that he's on TV. Stephen Bardo, just in case you are unfamiliar with him, was a member of one of the best Illinois basketball teams of my lifetime, the Flying Illini. And as such, I despised him as a kid. The whole Illinois team, Deion Thomas and that whole crew.
Nick
and Lou
Anderson,
Henson.
Was he on that team?
Yes, he was. And so we have this nice lunch and this nice chat, and I said, before I go, I got to get this off my chest. I sat next to you, and for years, I have despised you. Ever since
you use those words.
Yes, ever since I was 8 years old, absolutely despised you. And I want you to know that I no longer despise you. And you know what he said to me? It was, thank you for the compliment. Those guys, that Illinois basketball team.
I bet he loved that.
You want to go back to the conversation about villains. mid-80s Big Ten basketball for those who don't remember the conference at that time. Man, I don't want to sit around. I don't want to sound like the old guy sitting around playing the one of my least favorite games is Let's Remember, where you just sit around and, you know, let's remember this guy and let's remember that guy, because for a lot of people listening, it's boring as all get out. But I'm going to be the guy who sits there and let's remember Big Ten basketball in the 80s, because you had Gene Cady at Purdue and Steve Fisher at Michigan, guys like Rumeal Robinson. Anytime something pops up on Twitter where it asks, name the most random college basketball player, my answer is always Rumeal Robinson. And I don't know why, other than the fact that I think he was on the cover of every Street and Smith's magazine that I had when I was a kid.
My answer is Tom Coverdale.
There you go with the villains. He was a hell of a villain. He's got to be doing something nowadays.
Living on a basketball coach,
private island with sharks with laser beams attached to their head or something. It wouldn't surprise me with Tom Coverdale.
An underground lair.
Indiana with Bob Knight and Lou Henson at Illinois and Judd Heathcote at Michigan State and Gene Cady at Purdue. Clem Haskins, who himself was a villain at Minnesota. Unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you looked at it, Clem ran afoul of the NCAA and lost his job there, and Minnesota hasn't been the same since. That era of Big Ten basketball, it's probably not coming back anytime soon.
I just saw something. I looked up Tom Coverdale, and
I thought you looked up. Google Kobe's uncle. Make sure a safe search is on. Archibald Cox, wasn't he? He's like the Midnight Massacre with Nixon in the White House, right? I'd go by a nickname too if I were him.
If you don't want to feel old, turn your radio down for just a second. But Tom Coverdale is 50 years old.
He's that much. Okay, so he's 11 years older than I am. I was not thinking he was that much older.
50 years old.
What's he doing? Do we get to the bottom of what he's doing nowadays?
I did not.
He's got to be coaching
somewhere.
High school basketball
Noblesville
in Indiana
High School
somewhere.
Where he went to.
He's got
to
be coaching. He's the type of guy, he's a total Alford, where if he were to go back to small town Indiana, people would worship the ground that he walked on. People would just, the highlight of their life would be saying that they bought a car from Tom Coverdale, or that they bought life insurance. My insurance agent's Tom Coverdale. It's, man, in another universe, if I could have been good at, you can make a living off just being a former athlete. Not even necessarily a professional athlete, but if you were a really popular college athlete, you could make a good living just being yourself.
We found out what Tom Coverdale is doing now.
Is he, let me guess, he's selling life insurance somewhere in Indiana.
You are a psychic.
Is he selling? No way. Life insurance or home and auto?
Life insurance.
Life insurance.
Life insurance.
Well, good for him. You put your hands, put your life in Tom Coverdale's hands.
I'm reading this article. Try and tell me that as an Indiana resident, you could turn down a life insurance policy from Tom Coverdale.
How did we go? We went from, well, because I fell trap to one of the things that I don't like. I said, I hate it when you sit here and play Let's Remember, or let's talk about the past. Let's remember. And here we are. Yeah, old man Todd talking about Tom Coverdale, Indiana, Purdue, Judd Heathcote.
It looks like it's been a while since he was playing college basketball, and this picture as well.
Okay, now you got me. Now you have me curious. There's nothing sadder than a former Division I athlete who ages just like the rest of us, puts the extra weight around the midsection, loses the hair, the hairline starts receding. For some reason, I can't do two things at once. If you've ever listened to this program, you know I struggle at that. So I'm having a difficult time. Tom Coverdale. God, he still has a punchable face. There are certain players that you kind of wanted to punch. Tom Coverdale had the most. We're ruining show topics for another day. We could have done most punchable faces in Big Ten history, because that's a twofer. that's a twofer. Not only is it lazy to just say, here's a topic, call in and do the show for us by sharing your texts and phone calls, but it's also, let's sit here and remember people. Oh, yeah, I remember that name, which is, in this business, it turns out to be gold because I may not like it, but people enjoy remembering guys. People enjoy hearing names. We threw out Zach McCabe and Sam Oakey and Jacob Jakes earlier when we were talking about Brad Davison, the Wisconsin. Beeline would call him a slug, right? John Beeline? Slug, thug.
A slug. For the record, he said slug. He claims to have said slug.
Well, he's a villain, and he's very close to crossing over and being much worse than that after last night. And it's not the first instance there. But how have we got completely sidetracked. We need Fran McCaffrey to come dropping in here with his recollections of the Bryant family to get us back on track. 319-366-1600.
His uncle's name.
Coverdale.
I'm going to be honest here. When we were doing that segment and...
Now, I can get you term life, and you can convert this into a policy, a full, just the way that I converted all those free throws when I was a Big Ten star back in the day. Sold. I'm calling my agent tonight. My agent was my roommate freshman year at the University of Iowa. Poor SOB. I'm going to call him tonight and go, you know what? I'm moving all my coverage to Tom Coverdale. See, punchable face and all.
His name even makes sense as somebody who would sell life insurance.
You, Tom Coverdale. Tom Coverdale has you covered. Sonny in Iowa. I feel like Sonny in Iowa City only calls when the show is teetering on the brink of being a train wreck. And I look up and I see Buttons has put Sonny in Iowa City through to us here. Sonny, whatever you got to say, go ahead and say it.
I'm going to throw you guys an anchor here.
A cinder block around my neck would be more appropriate today.
Solidly tied. Here's the problem, is that I have this great take, and I cannot remember the name of the individual, but you talk about punchable faces, specifically to Big Ten basketball. There was a player for Purdue that seemed to have been on the roster for like 8 years when we were in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Brian Cardinal?
Yep, that's
Brian Cardinal. He got brought up on the text line as well.
Yeah, there were about seven people on the text line that threw Brian Cardinal's name out there.
Yeah, Brian Cardinal, didn't he wear knee pads too? Like, he was just he was an all-around train wreck of a player to have to go against. And he was so immediately identifiable when he got on the court, and everybody hated him, like Big Ten-wide. Iowa has had a few of those people. I mean, you could have a show that was also, you know, most punchable Iowa players, because we have definitely had our share. But, man, I cannot think of a better example than Brian Cardinal.
He was like the anti-Brian Scalabrine, because everybody loves Scal, but hated Brian Cardinal.
The best way, Sonny, thank you for the phone call. The best way to play the role of villain, especially when you're a college basketball player, is to have the hairline of a 50-year-old. And that was Brian Cardinal. You remember that, Brian Cardinal?
Absolutely, I remember
Brian Cardinal had the hairline of a 50-year-old man, and it made him
20.
Yeah, and he just, my blood is boiling just thinking about him right now. And someday, 25 years from now, there's going to be somebody who's 39 years old sitting behind the microphone who probably hates talking about the good old days, and they're going to be talking about Brad Davison. Well, remember that guy? And then the phone lines just, or they're not even using phone lines 25 years in the future. I don't know what this business is going to look like. I know I ain't going to be here for it, but somewhere down the road, somebody's going to be podcasting, or if radio still exists, and I certainly hope it does, we'll be talking, or they'll be talking about Brad Davison and remembering him. Remember him?
Well, they're not going to remember him because he sucked at basketball.
And then the text line will be like, Adam Woodbury, a bunch of crotchety old 70-year-old Iowa fans who still haven't gotten over Adam Woodbury yet. 5:52, we'll take a quick timeout. I knew immediately when he Purdue, and I can't remember his name. We had so
Brian
many.
Cardinal. Yep.
We had so many people texting about Brian Cardinal in the 4 o'clock hour that I was going to make him the captain of the all villain team, the all Big Ten all villain team.
And then we came across Tom Coverdale.
Tom Coverdale is in that territory. You could put, like, you know, all-star teams where they do, I mean, Europe against the United States, or you could do the state of Indiana, Big Ten, just Indiana and Purdue players against the rest of the Big Ten, and I would take the Indiana-Purdue team in the all-villain contest any day of the week. 5:52, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll put the finishing touches on this one. If there's ever a show that's needed the old Yeller treatment, it just may be Tuesday's edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It'll return after this.
Save big money on all of your home improvement projects right now at Menards. Stop into Menards' electrical department and stock up on RCA audio and video accessories. Get game day ready with an indoor HD antenna. All in-stock antennas are on sale. Get an easy-to-install antenna that blends in with any home decor while providing free local HD TV programming. Right now, it's just $14.99 after rebate at Menards. Prices good through Saturday, February 1st.
Save big money at Menards.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Don't miss out on the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. We're giving away $50,000 every score change, touchdowns, field goals, even extra points, 50 G's. Plus, two grand prize winners will win $500,000 that could be used toward their dream home. Hurry up and get your square at RocketMortgageSquares.com.
Enter by January 30th, 2020. No purchase necessary. 18 years or older, except Alabama, Nebraska, and Mississippi. Ends January 30th. Licensed all 50 states and MLS number 3030. NFL is not sponsored promotion in any way.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Time for an oil change? We're ready to help at AutoZone. We've got more ways to help you protect your engine and your wallet, like our great deals on STP oil, starting at just $16.99 for a 5-quart jug of STP conventional motor oil. And if you need a tool for the job, you can borrow over 100 specialty ones with our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program. Getting the job done just got easier. Visit AutoZone.com to get started. Deposit required. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Man, you got people on the text line making fun of Greg Brunner now. Don't make fun of Greg Brunner.
How did he get dragged into this?
He had a little bit of the dad bod going on when he played in college, but he didn't have Brian Cardinal's hairline. Don't hang that on Brew. 319, I think he's doing a podcast with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com.
He is.
Who isn't Rob doing a podcast with? He was with Colin Cole, and now he's doing stuff with Greg Brunner. Rob is going to be with us on Friday. We will be discussing, presumably, Iowa wrestling with Rob quite a bit as number 2 Penn State coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena on Friday to take on number 1 Iowa. And Tom Brands said today at his media availability that they've got this circled, underlined, and asterisked. Friday's meet against Penn State. This is a big one, not just for Iowa and not just for Penn State, but for the sport of wrestling. And it should be a fantastic one. The gym class will preview it tomorrow with Mark Ironside. If you get a chance to go back and listen to the podcast of today's gym class with KJ Pilcher, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and Dan Shanka of Arlad Scouting is available online at kgymradio.com. Also there, you can vote in today's poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. How does Iowa fare over its next 2 games? They play at Maryland on Thursday and then host Illinois on Sunday. We may just have a new segment on the program where I just say a name, say, remember that guy, and walk away for about 10 minutes, and then the text line just remembers somebody.
I like this. I think it's a great idea.
I'm being facetious, and normally when I say something that would be my own personal nightmare, the listeners grab onto it, and
we love that idea.
Yep. Join us tomorrow for another edition of Remember That Guy. Until then, Todd Bromelkamp, Alex Kuhn signing off. Talk to you tomorrow.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and I have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example,